This is Waitangi Day Morning on Radio New Zealand National. I'm Brian Crump, and I have a Kiwi accent. And the interesting thing is, it's been getting stronger. I've been back in New Zealand for what now, 4 years since I moved back from Australia. And the other interesting thing about living in Australia is that is where I really started to get that I had a Kiwi accent. I knew all about the fush and chups thing. But the thing that happens with our A's, there, you just heard that. I said, happens. Now, I didn't really appreciate that until I moved to Australia, but somebody who's going to fill us in on the Kiwi accent, somebody very well qualified, is Elizabeth Gordon, retired professor of linguistics at the University of Canterbury. Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth.
Good. No, nice to be here.
There was another bit of Kiwi. I said Elizabeth.
Yes, you did. Yep.
Yeah, and it really, why would it be that, I guess, if everybody else speaks like me, if I live in New Zealand, of course I wouldn't notice I had an accent.
Of course you wouldn't. No, yeah. It's just normal. That's the way we all speak.
But then I was in Britain for about 3.5 years, and I remember British friends teasing me about my A's,
yes,
saying
yes.
Heppin.
Yes, heppin. That's right, yes.
And I thought I would say to them, I'm not a South African. I'm a New Zealander. What are you going on about this Heppin business? That's what South Africans do.
Yeah, well, we have a lot in common with South Africa and Australia. You know, we are Southern Hemisphere Englishes, and that's what we do. But that, you know, the happen one, like it's fantastic.
Yes,
that's New Zealand. That's the way we do it, and it's getting even closer. You know, fantastic. Yeah,
we're getting our A's. What happened? What is there a technical term for what we're doing?
Yeah,
with
what's
our
happening
A?
Is that what we say is the front vowels are rising. You know, don't stay awake at night worrying about it, but that's what's happening. Our front vowels are rising, and so the a is turning into e, and the e turns into e, and then the e turns into a, and so there's a sort of chain reaction.
Do they go around in a circle?
Yeah, one's pushing another one. Once you push one, then the next one has to move.
Will we eventually? Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
So the vowels now, is that almost like the vowels have a circular roll?
That's right. They're moving on. And so the fush and chup one that you mentioned, that's the latest one. And the first reference we've got of that in writing was in 1960 when people wrote to the Listener complaining about poor Alison Holst and the way she pronounced the word fish. And they said people who say fish shouldn't be on the radio or on the television maybe then. I can't remember how it was. But that's when we first have the first written record. But we know it was around before then.
But if the vowels move, then they must be pushing other vowels to move other vowels.
Yeah, that's what happens. But that's that little circuit. Yeah.
So if fish becomes fush, what's happening to the U then?
Oh, yes.
What's the U then pushing out?
Yes, I don't think that one's moved yet. Yeah, so maybe it will happen.
Or happen,
as
the case might be.
Happen, yes.
That's really nice, that one, Elizabeth. Mm. What do we know how accents form and why?
Well, that's the question that everybody wants to know, and I wish I could answer that, you know, why it happens. But there's a lot of interest in new dialect development, and of course we are the most recent variety of English to be formed.
New Zealand?
Yes, if you don't count the Falkland Islands. We're the most recent one. So there's a lot of interest in New Zealand English. And the lovely thing about New Zealand English is it's the one variety where we actually have recorded information. You know, there's no recorded information of early American English or even early Australian English, but New Zealand English formed earlier, you know, late enough for us to have recordings. And there were recordings made in the 1940s of old New Zealanders. Are people born here, born in the 1850s, so we know what they sounded like. Yeah.
Yes. And how have we changed? Well, for example, were people in the 1940s saying sucks?
Probably there were people, yes, probably there were. But those very, very old people, you know, those ones born in the 1850s, did I say 1950s?
Perhaps. No, you said 1850s. I'm pretty sure you did.
Yes, so the people born in the 1850s, you wouldn't know they were born in New Zealand. In fact, you probably wouldn't know where some of them were born, but mostly they sounded just like their parents. So if their parents were Scottish, they sounded Scottish. But then, you know, a little while later, people started to get wonderful mixtures and get all sorts of things, and you'd have varieties that you wouldn't hear anywhere in the world. So somebody might say, over there is a house, and be mixing up, you know, Scottish with other things.
But what is creating this change? Well, is it the sound of other, is it just this melting pot of other influences?
Yep, it's the melting pot of other influences, and people coming from all over, you know, creating something new. And what happens is that the majority wins on the day. So more people came from the south of England than, say, from Scotland or from Ireland, and that's why we have a south of England variety.
Oh, do we?
And that's the same as South Africa, and that's the same as Australia. So that's why we're like them.
I always thought that there was a strong North British influence.
No, not in the final result. There might have been in the original mix, but not in the final result.
I always thought that the fush and chups thing, for example, was very Scottish, because they say things like, when they're saying first, they say fuss.
That's right. No, people did think that it was Scottish, but I think that's just a coincidence.
Really?
You know, ours is part of our very own vowel shift. That's ours. It didn't come from Scotland.
Do you think it's mostly the sounds of other people? Can the environment also have an influence on how an accent changes?
Well, people have thought that. I mean, I've read people say that in Wellington people speak faster because of the wind, but I don't know that, you know, nobody believes that. But,
it's a nice story, though.
It's a nice idea, but I don't think the environment, I don't think we'd count the environment,
People do speak faster or slower in different parts of the world,
People do say that, yes, but often it's when you're listening to a variety that's not familiar, it always sounds faster.
How old do you think, if we go back to 1940, for example, mm-hmm. and during the program, we've got some nice little examples of New Zealand troops sending information back home and to the families, and some sound very English and some sound quite Kiwi, so it sounds like a language that's evolving.
Sure, well maybe, you know, that's probably got a bit to do with social class, that the people who were higher class would have sounded more English. And the New Zealand accent began with people who were at the bottom of the social scale. They were the road workers and the shopkeepers and farming workers and people like that. That's where you find it. Women, especially women, housewives. But you won't find it with posh people. You know, they will sound more British, more English.
Well, that's true if I think of my own grandparents. Yeah. And one side of the family had the name Clayton Green.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can expect that they had quite an... Grandpa had quite an English accent.
Yes, I would expect it,
And when I... But my father, Crump...
Yes.
Yeah, more of a Kiwi accent.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I think that fits quite well, doesn't it? But so I think social class will have something to do with whether they sound very New Zealand or whether they don't.
So we have to thank the plebs for our beautiful accent.
And if you want to see where New Zealand English is going, that's where you look. Don't go and look, you know, at people like me who went to private schools. We're no use. But go to people who are, you know, the working people. That's where you'll hear it.
The language is still changing, the way we speak it.
Yes, it is. It's changing. Yes, we're in the middle of a lot of changes.
And what changes are those?
Well, this is fun. Mm. Well, one that we've been tracking now for a long time is that what we call the merger between the ear that you hear with and the air that you breathe. And now you'll hear people saying ear for all of them. You know, sit on a chair and give a loud cheer, or share everything with your friends and shear the sheep. It sounds the same.
That's right. I get told off by that or for that.
Well, you would be, you know, a good example. That's a good New Zealand sound change that's now very, very widespread.
Is it because we like puns?
Well, you might, yes, but I don't think that's what causes it.
You're not such a fan of puns yourself.
Oh, I don't mind puns. No,
oh,
puns,
that's good.
Yes, no,
that's
puns
good.
Are all right, yes.
And I think the other thing is this. I think perhaps is more. We're picking up more Maori sounds too. Particularly, if we think of that strong South Auckland kind of accent, beached airs.
Yes,
kind of thing.
You've seen the beached airs, whale. Yes,
that is a wonderful.
We've all had a look at that. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to play that.
Yes,
definitely,
it's a great
bit of a Kiwiana.
Great fun, isn't it? Yes.
And you know why I like that also?
Why?
It's because our accent. I've grown up and people have taken the Mickey out of the Aussie accent.
Yeah.
Us Kiwis.
Yes.
And now here's some Australians.
Yes,
I think.
And they're doing it
the
back.
Mickey. Yeah.
Yes.
We've made it. Our accent has made it.
Yes. Oh, that's good. No, I think you're right. right that there are a lot of changes going on. And, you know, in Christchurch, I won't hear so much Maori English or Pacific Island English, but I've just come through the East Cape and I've heard it all the time. It's wonderful. I just wish I had my tape recorder.
People do get upset. They get upset with the with changes, and,
yes.
And I'm told off for saying for using vowels in the wrong way.
Yes, yes.
How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the changes are wonderful. I'm really interested. That's what I'm interested in. So it doesn't bother me at all. But I keep hearing people getting upset. You know, we were at a sort of social event, and an older woman was saying, "What I really hate is when people say sweet as. I just can't bear that." And within 5 minutes, she'd said it herself. So, you know, what you think you hate, you watch out, because you're probably doing it.
We say that about our parents too, I think.
Yes, yes.
You know,
we
mention the things that we don't like about what they do, and then we repeat them.
Yes,
that's just life, really, isn't
it? I think that's right. So you know, people might think they hate something, but they may well be doing it.
Do we still share a lot of phrases and bits of language with Australia?
And certainly, yeah. Lots and lots of our language is the same in Australia. Some differences, but a lot is the same. And early on, it was too.
And the fact that for a while our accents, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, were quite similar is because all the kind of the main bit of raw material
yes,
was coming from
the similar part
of Britain.
Well, as they say, if you put the same mixtures in the mixing bowl, you'll produce similar cakes. And that's what happened. But of course, we're also different. I mean, we don't sound like Australians. And
no.
In the very early days, people used to say that New Zealand English, there was this thing called a colonial twang, which was similar to Australia, but not so bad. That's
right.
What they always said.
That's what I think we like to believe as New Zealanders too.
That's
we?
Right. We're a bit better than them.
Yes.
But the similarity, people have been commenting on it since the very beginning.
Are we getting further apart?
I think probably we are. Yes, I think probably we are. No, I'm not an expert on Australian English, but I've heard that there are sound changes going on there that are different from ours. So we are getting apart.
Does mass communication mean it's harder for accents to form because we've got all this influences, we can speak to people on the other side of the world,
yeah.
We hear media stuff coming from outside of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Does that stop regional accents from forming?
Well, I don't think the media has any effect on our accents. I mean, I know you're a media man, so you might not like that. But
fine.
Watching television or listening to the radio is a one-way process. It doesn't answer back. And if you want to have a change, you've got to be able to talk to somebody who talks back to you. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but if you're with somebody with a very strong accent, do you find yourself doing it back again, even though you don't mean to? You know, if you go to Wales, do you find your intonation pattern suddenly changing? And you think, why am I doing that? It only happens, though, if you're talking to somebody. But if you're just listening to the television or listening to the radio, you won't be doing that. You won't be influenced.
New Zealand, as far as I know, has just one genuine regional accent. Britain has dozens
sure.
of them.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
This is the South Otago, Southland
yes,
accent. Because
yes.
it's Milton or about there?
Well, I think it's probably more widespread than Southland. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely gets into Otago.
Sure, absolutely.
Hear it in Milton.
Yes,
I know
you
do.
Hear it all over.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Is that the only one in New Zealand?
Well, that's the only one that we can really strongly identify. People keep saying that there are regional differences, but so far the linguists haven't really isolated them. But, you know, it is commonly thought that there are regional differences.
And that one is influenced by the Scots?
Certainly, yes. I think, you know, that pronunciation of R, you know, that they say nurse and, you know, fern bird, that you hear down there. Well, what we found by listening to these old recordings I mentioned is that actually people did that in the North Island as well.
Yes.
And that it was all around. So it was more widespread. Now, we wouldn't have known that if we hadn't got these wonderful recordings. So thank you, Radio New Zealand and the Sound Archives.
Well, that's quite all right.
You know, that's made it possible for us to find out.
Yeah, thanks
out
very
these
much,
things.
Sound Archives. Actually, they've helped us out today.
Yeah, yeah.
One last question. The accent's going to change, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
will
I
we
think
recognize
so.
Ourselves if we could hear how we're going to sound in 100 years, do you think?
Well, I think the changes are there already, but they'll probably get stronger. And I would say in 100 years, New Zealanders won't pronounce the L at the end of a word like feel. They'll say feel like that, like I do sometimes. Probably won't pronounce their THs. You know, there will be a lot of changes, yeah.
So we'll say weather.
Yeah, weather and something. It'll probably go, I mean, no, everybody will be upset about that, but it's starting now, we can hear that, and it'll probably move on in that direction.
That actually brings up one last question then. How to teach how to speak in schools? Should we stick to these? Should you be hard and fast on your rules? And then people have something to work against, even if they end up speaking differently
yes.
to how they're taught?
Yes.
Because can you really teach people to say with instead of with?
Well, speech therapists have been doing it for years. I mean, they would say it was a speech, you know, so it was something that had to have remedial treatment. But once it's a sound change, then there's no point, because people won't even know they're doing it. Like, people don't know about the ear-air merger. You know, that the way they say it, they think is normal. And so there's really not much point, I think, in trying to drill people into something that's not normal for them, because then you just set up anxiety and people get anxious about
yeah.
the way they speak, and they'll be worrying about the way they speak instead of what they're saying. And I think that would be a great shame.
Poor old Hewitt, he's probably having a hernia thinking about all this. He's always, you know, Brian, it's with.
Yes.
Not
yes,
with.
Yes,
with.
Yes.
Work
well,
on your
THs. Well, it's a different matter for people, I think, on the radio. You know, you have different standards, but for ordinary
yeah.
people, you know, what you want are people to be good, fluent speakers and conversationalists and confident in public. That's what we want, not whether they have this vowel or that vowel. Does it matter?
Here's a theory, and this is the last question. if the lower class people,
mm-hmm.
lower class people are using it, but middle class people still use the old version,
yes.
it's still frowned upon. But
yes.
once you've got enough people
that's right.
in the middle classes saying
yep.
sucks instead
yep.
of six,
yep.
That's when
right.
we no longer enforce the rules.
Absolutely. And you'll hear young women, you know, the movers and the shakers, they are at the advance of the changes in New Zealand English. And young women and the people who announce things on the aeroplane or help you in the shops, those are the ones, that's where you hear it.
Young middle-class women.
And well, they're not even middle-class, but they don't know they do it, but they're at the advance, yeah.
And once you've got a sort of critical mass of
middle-class
people, not medical-class
yes,
people,
yes,
though they
yes.
often are middle-class,
yes, yes.
then that's when it's got itself established.
Yes, that's right.
And you'll
right.
no longer have it purged out of the system.
And nobody will worry about it, and it will become normal. We had people who were desperately upset when the New Zealand accent was first noticed and said, it was word murder, it was disgraceful, it was a terrible, terrible thing. And now if you listen to those old people, you say, what was all the fuss about? They just sound like ordinary, nice old New Zealanders.
Yes. Yes, and of course you'd laugh at those people who sound like English people now.
Absolutely.
Oh, they sound like
yes.
Poms.
That's
oh,
absolutely.
That's not us.
Yes, not us at all.
Elizabeth, it's been great talking with you.
Okay, good.
or with you.
Yes, well, I've enjoyed it too.
All the best. That's okay. Elizabeth Gordon, retired professor of linguistics, but still an enthusiast for language, evolving language. From the University of Canterbury, speaking to us on Waitangi Day morning on Radio New Zealand National.